And to all of my brothers and sisters in life, very delighted and excited to be here again on this day. And this one here is better here.
I said, I
don't know. Wow. I said, he's a fighter. Yeah. So we just have to be here and without fear and without any competition.
Going on in our world.
I got a feeling that the only solution, the only real solution to the problem is not money. But the real solution to the problem is the power of purpose. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why am I here? What is my purpose for being here? Where am I going once I leave here? We come here through the door of birth. And then we carry the robot. Then we exit out of here through the door of death. We only have a short time on earth. But if you take the right time of the season,
I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. I know this is the glue that kind of keeps all this together. It's not easy trying to have an organization with 800 and couple leaders. And, you come here on these meeting days, we kind of share and keep things together. Structure is important. It's a total package. Structure is organization. And that's what we do here. And I just have to thank you because you're all volunteers. Nobody's been paid for any of this. It's all volunteers. And you're all business. You have something to run. But you're here. That's enormous commitment. That's huge. Because a lot of folks in here, you know why? Because they got something to run. And they have things to do. But you carve out your time and you come here. And I just want you to know how much I really appreciate that, because you could easily say, I don't have time. You do a lot of them say, well, I'm doing ministry. Well, this is ministry. You think family structure, health and wellness, economic development, crime, and incarceration, education, civic engagement, and prayer, you think that's not ministry? Well, we need to be talking to folks who are not in the church. Because people in the church ain't listening. They come to church every Sunday and leave the same way they came in. We need to get some more folks to come in and hear the message. And that's why we have gathered here as a group of faith leaders called Pastors United. I just want to thank you for your time once again. Now, on the agenda, we have a few items, so we're going to get right to it. The first item, and he promised he'd be here, but he's not, is the housing project. And the person who is, you know, leading that charge is Pastor Washington. But I can tell you this, that we have a housing project, and we have even incorporated the housing project in its name, Faith Builds Milwaukee. We have a goal of doing 100 houses in the city, and we have funders who are going to fund that endeavor.
Amen.
They want to do 200. And at $40,000 a house, you know, I kind of did the math. That's a little, you know, $8 billion commitment. So, what I guess what we have to talk about is each and every pastor finding somebody in your church who is ready to buy a house. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Because the end game has got to be tight. We can have all these houses and then nobody go in them. Somebody gonna go in them, steal all the stuff out from your basement and knock out the windows, sleep in there when nobody's there, that kind of thing. So we're gonna have to have a huge marketing plan on getting folks ready to buy these houses. We got 300 situations here. Churches. Man, and each of these churches probably got one or two people ready to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to drive the agenda and having folks have ownership in these homes. Do you know how important property ownership is in Milwaukee? The auditor can tell you. I bet he takes a lot more closer look at someone who's a homeowner when they call his office, especially if they vote. When they call his office, it doesn't matter about you on the doctor. But it's important, and it's part of our family structures committee, you know, goals and initiatives is home ownership, taking ownership, owning, putting your families in position so they can be real families. This is all part of the ministry we do with Pastors United. This home ownership is huge. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Family structure. And I can stand it. That is the basis and foundation of any power that a people can have. You got strong families, you got to have strong statistics. And not just in that family, but you can raise that family where you have strong tribes and strong clans. Strong nation, strong culture. It's you. So, what I'm saying to you now is get ready. Because we're about to rehab these houses. And the problem before, we had the plan, we've been working on it for almost 6-7 months. Would you say, Mr. Connie? But now somebody's going to fund our plan. It was such a tight plan, they said, okay, we'll do this. Yeah, wow. That's what kind of talent we have, Sister Brenda. Now, we got to stop selling ourselves short. We can do this. But you know what it's going to take? Structure and organization. And when you go, and when you go out trying to do things on your own, you spoil it for all of them. When you get in competition with knuckleheads, you spoil it for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to be mean and nasty to the opponents or friends, you spoil it for all of them. Pastors United, when we're out here, you do not speak for yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You speak for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you dragging my man to the dirt by daily arguing, fucking, and fighting, and all that kind of mess. That's just ridiculous. What we need to do is keep the structure tight. That means the energy flows in a positive direction, a positive focus. Man, energy is important. Don't we think so, Pastor? Hey, energy is superior. And you know where our energy comes from. The Lord. But if you don't have an agreement to work together, and you want to go off and do things on your own, it's false for all of us. I'm telling you. You know the problems in the past with organizations that have had failures is because the structure fell apart. The organization ceased to be. We can't let any one thing, any one person, come between us succeeding in our agenda and goal. I'm talking about me. You know, you get in the way, somebody got to go. Because you can't be bigger than the body. And the thing about that, everybody, is this. When we have a socialized group working together, that's what greatness comes from that group. It's not you being great or you being great that makes the group great. No, that's you being great. It's us working together that really materializes and edifies individuals into greatness. It's working together, yes.
Okay, I was thinking when you have your announcement that there was a form that was sent out to each church, and in their announcement that they had a prerequisite or something they read to the guests and let them know what does it take to own one of these.
Yes, you know, you're way ahead of me, and like I said, that is certainly part of what we're, you know, you got to see how God works you right on time. That's exactly what's about to happen. We're going to have a massive marketing campaign on home ownership, and this shit's not going to be working addiction. You know, we can fix, you know, we got credit, repair, we got owner education, we have all these entities in place right now. We didn't have to create this stuff, but people are already doing this. The city has got these programs already. People need to know about them, go through those programs. We don't have to be a different will. Things are already in place. But we do have to stay together. I'm telling you, it's important that when you're out here, do not speak in the name of Pastors United, because you do not speak for yourself. If you do that, you speak for all of us, and some of us may not understand or like or appreciate the message that you are putting across. I'm just telling you. That's for certain. You got churches. You don't let announcements go out to some other church without you reviewing that stuff. Nothing better not go out without you seeing it first. And you better not go out here trying to talk about committing your pastor to something that he didn't already.
Oh, no.
Hello, somebody. Man, I said we have a church, but, you know. So I just want to put that out there, y'all. Culture is important, and guess what? We are now on our way to rehabbing these houses. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's you. That is you. So who wants to buy a house? Oh, that was funny, huh? I'm serious, man. Now, this is huge, because what's got to happen here is the churches, in most cases, have to, you know, help these people out in their area, because we don't want to give somebody to buy a house and then you just leave them to fend for themselves. We have to have a commitment in writing that you're going to help these people survive in this house. That don't mean pay their bills, but it does mean that you're going to help them in running home ownership. Did you hear me? Really, and we need that commitment, because in order for us to make the deal with the investors, they have to know that this is not going to be something where we put folks in these homes, they don't know what they're doing, and then just sinking in a home that they can't even manage, and that home was back on the road again. And we got the same problem, just with another person in. So, yes.
Okay, my thing is that it's not going to be like the second in law. We're going to know that these people are prepared and they're ready to move into those homes. And we're going to be a support group, a wraparound for them.
Exactly.
But you know, there are no guarantees that anything is going to be perfect. So we're going to be so on point.
Yeah, something's going wrong with everything.
And I tell you another thing. What if you want to buy a home and you're not a member of the church, and this particular church has a house that has been on their slate that you want to purchase?
Yeah, make sure they become a member and then they purchase a home. No, but I'm just kidding about that. You do want to have that leverage, though. I mean, really. Come to our church, we'll get you a house. I mean, you got to get people in the church any way you can. I mean, the Bible, man, they talk about that, man. You got to, you know, you got to be like this. It's like the fellow who, you know, went back to the folks and said, how much you owe? I'm going to cut it by 50%. Write that down. No, we got to be wise as a serpent and honest as a dove. So, yeah, we do what, this is all about recruiting, because that's going to go into what else we are doing and adopt the block. But, Pastor, yeah.
I wanted to touch on what you said about speaking for the organization itself. So, I wanted to say to the core group that myself, I'm going to be what's called a silent partner because of the fact that what I stand for, the things that I do, I don't want it to affect what Chapter United is trying to do and doing. Because certain things that I do, I ruffle feathers with people that on the other side are trying to invest into Chapter United. So I'm going to be more consistent with Silent Partner. I'm still going to help them with the specific part of it. But because what I speak out, I don't want them to label it to Captain Knight, because y'all know I'm an agitator. Y'all know I deal with things. I'm about the kingdom work, and I say things because I swim upstream and I don't swim downstream.
Okay, so you know what, I support what Captain United is trying to do,
yes,
because of who I am,
yes, sir.
And what I do. You know, I don't want nobody to say, oh, well, he's Captain United, because I'm not Captain United, because it's a group. I don't speak for Captain United. I do speak for the God Squad, though. And the God Squad is agitators, and God Squad got things going on right now that we're not aligned up with Captain United, because there's some things that I do not Mr. Gray had to talk about it this morning, but as a group, I wanted to let everybody know I'm not abandoning it or anything like that. I'm just a silent partner. So when somebody comes to you and says, King, and you can say, and it's okay to say, no, King is not, because it will affect something that you're trying to do because of who I am.
So
that's
information.
Right, but I'm just saying, because if they come to this meeting and when some of them came to this meeting and know who I am, they're like, oh, he's part of this. So I don't want it to affect. So
we have folks who are Republican, Democrat, independent.
It's not about being Republican, Democrat. Well, I'm just making a general statement.
But then when people stand up and speak, say, I'm standing speaking for it.
Yeah.
And it's nothing else.
Right.
You can redefine that. You
right. Right. Yeah, so we kind of inclusive here. Because we're passive. We believe in God.
That's right. So that's
the report on our housing. That's a huge report. That's really good. I'm excited, and now we have to get the work done. But it's very important that we start to look at our churches for folks who are prepared to buy a house.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to get that out to everybody on our membership list. You know, get ready, because our planning committee will put a letter together. And we're going to heavily market that situation.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
When we get that letter, I'll make sure that I can have that available to announce what I'm available for.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. What about the television show?
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. This is the genuine who wants to buy. But first time homeowners, I think they get special consideration from the city and other places. But see, I don't know much about it because somebody else is running Fayetteville, Milwaukee. But they are a subsidiary of Passage United. So, you know, I wish he would have been here, but he's not. So that's the best I can do. But questions are spoken.
Amen.
And we certainly want you to have that opportunity. And you will have it very shortly. Yes. That's good.
Yeah.
How many committees
do you have? Well, actually, it's seven major committees,
but, you know, I think each committee needs to have a job description.
Yeah, we have no
need to take the power.
Yeah, we're working on that too, about that. So, we will work on that before the, on the 29th. Yes. But we have something already. Our Pastor Tyler has put something together for us. He's not a pastor yet.
We have two young ladies
here from that city
for a moment.
Okay, well, we'll give them an opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you. You're
welcome.
I'm excited. You want to talk about the form?
Tuesday of this week, we decided on where the venue is, and that is the Wisconsin African American Women's Center. They will allow us to use that facility. Mother Robinson is handling the logistics with that. Next week we'll tell you how much it will cost us. And by the time we meet again next week, letters will go out to all of the candidates that are running for our office in Milwaukee and throughout the state of Wisconsin to appear at our forum. We do have several organizations and individuals who will allow us to use their name on the printed literature that we will be sending out. And we hope to do two mailings prior to the event, which is going to be October 30th. And it will be at 3020 West Belief Street. You can look for a piece of mail from us in the next week. And what we want you to do is to, and this event is like the event last Saturday, this event is going to reflect upon us. We want not only this body to attend, but we want our friends and our neighbors and any organization that you may belong to, invite them as well. We need to have a showing on the 30th to let the candidates know that we'll be appearing, that we care about the issues, and that we are truly going to help determine who the next governor is, who the next secretary of state is going to be, who the next attorney general is going to be, and down the line. So we need your help. And when we get the mail, please pass it along and see it with your friends.
October 30th.
October 30th, yes, sir.
6 o'clock, 8:30.
So, you know, it's important that we have a good story. And I know we have these meetings, we talk about it, because we did the forum with the attorney general debate. It was kind of short notice, but not many of us showed up, and we don't tell many people about it. So that's why I'm asking, you know, I'm not putting blame anywhere, but I'm saying if we are going to do these kind of things, we need to support them. And we need to support them with our own bodies and our members. There's no way that we can have an empty room with 300 and something members. I mean, really, man, come on, man, that's ridiculous. And we made a commitment to work together. So that's going to hold on to your, you know, commitment. And we're doing this work here and trying to get these candidates so that you can meet them, talk with them. So you ought to, you know, make a special effort not only to be there yourself, but to get your folks there, to get people there. Oh, wow. Mandela Bond, state representative, Mandela Bond. Hey, let's give him a second. Come on in, man. Wow, what a pleasant surprise. Yes.
Okay, can I just say one thing? Good motion, though. We need to get on the radio.
We're doing all of that. See, you come to the meeting on Tuesday at 12 o'clock,
right.
And we take care of all of that. As a matter of fact, most of the... Yes, every Tuesday until we can have this...
Yeah,
at Coffee Makes You Black at 12 o'clock. Yes. Yes. So we need to support this. Because, you know, it's nothing worse than having to come into a room and we've asked folks to come and share with us and it's empty. You know what that says. You don't have to worry about these people because they're not concerned. Really. So, let's put that on our radar. Can't emphasize it enough. This forum is going to be important. The November 4th election is going to be important. And tell everybody who vote for, but we definitely need to vote out. We need to get them out. Get out to vote. Definitely. Yes, sir.
Thank you need to understand where we are and where we're going.
This is a new day in the city of York. It's a new day right here. All things have passed away.
Yes.
And behold, all things become new. We need politicians in office who is concerned about us, concerned about the community.
Yes.
I am deeply concerned about our community. Why? Our community, for the last 15, 20 years, haven't made much progress. It's time to wake up and leave and be about our Father's business. I think these politicians, because I think they're holding them accountable. We don't want nobody in office showing no concern. But we need people who stand against it and have concern about reestablishing our community. There's enough power in this room right here to change the course of history. We can't see the light. We got to make things happen. Amen.
Right now we have a guest, and I just want to introduce him. I want to invite Bob Donovan. Has just been elected to a fourth term of alderman of Milwaukee's 8th District, and is no stranger to the city government.
I'm sure some of you are probably wondering what this Irish Catholic loudmouth from the South Side is doing up here. It's to ask something very important of all of you. As you're well aware, I'm standing for mayor. The reason it wasn't an easy decision was something my wife and I struggled with, my family. You can imagine. It is a huge, huge uphill battle. And we're all well aware of the challenges that we face as a community. But I arrived at that decision together with my wife, and we both told each other, either stand for something in life or you step aside. So we decided to stand up for what we believe in, and that's what frankly is a better Milwaukee. And what brings me here today is to ask something of you. I'm not here to preach. I want to listen. And I'm asking for your permission to allow me to listen to you as a faith leader in this community, and also listen to the members of your congregation. Because I happen to believe any good leader is someone who can speak from knowledge, speak from experience, and the only way you gain that is by talking to people and experiencing what they're going through. I can tell you the many challenges that myself and my constituents face on a regular basis. But I want to reach out to all of you and your members and listen to what they believe to be the challenges and what you believe to be Milwaukee's greatest challenges. And then common sense tells us that once you're able to identify the problem and you first admit that the problem exists, then you bring the right people to the table, you fashion a strategy or a plan to address those initiatives, and yes, quite frankly, you attach a timetable, you attach goals and objectives, and then you hold the individuals accountable, and if they are successful, you praise them, and if they're not, well, you perhaps look at replacing them. That's the bottom line. We've got some huge challenges in Milwaukee. I don't have to go through all of them. Issues in safety in our schools, in joblessness, in hopelessness as well. And I will tell you that, to me, that is one of the greatest challenges that we, and I say the inner city, both north side and south side in the city, faces is a sense of hopelessness among some people. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is probably the most devastating emotion, or however you would describe it, that anyone lives with. And we have to offer some hope, mm-hmm. and some direction, and some vitality, and some energy. And I ask for your help in allowing me to listen to your members and yourself, because, let's face it, some of the most influential initiatives, some of the most influential movements, not only in this nation, but throughout the world, have been initiated by the church, okay? And the spirit that the churches have given in moving initiatives forward. I believe any issues that we tackle as a community have to be done as a community. I believe government has a role to play in our society, but not the only role, and not even the biggest role. I believe in partnerships between churches, government, the private sector, businesses. And that's the only way, in my opinion, we're going to be able to really tackle head-on and grab the bull by the horns and tackle these issues head-on and move this community forward. So I want to begin by asking for the opportunity for listen to your members and the whole listening sessions over the next 6 to 8 months, perhaps. Obviously, the election from there is not until April of 2016. So it's a year and a half away. And I want to spend as much of that time as possible reaching out to people, listening to them, engaging them, and perhaps working towards solutions. So, very simple. That's why I'm here. And I'm hoping, and I want to thank Pastor Bill, because Pastor Briggs has offered already to hold a listening session. We have one scheduled at his church in October. And I would ask, please, for other pastors here to give me that opportunity. I'm not looking to preach to anyone. And I'm not going to lie to you and say I have all the answers, because I don't. Okay? If the answers were out there, the problems would have been solved long ago. But I'm confident that together we can arrive at some good solutions to address the real challenges impacting Milwaukee. So, and it's not the street cuts. That's not one of our major strategies. So, I certainly be more than happy to answer any questions.
Yes.
Can I have one by this group?
Oh. Yeah. One really excellent thing is you're not a friend. You already know pretty much the feel of what's happening here in Milwaukee. And I feel that Milwaukee has truly not gotten a fair shake on a whole lot of things. And that's one thing that really needs to be addressed. Everyone should be equal partners, but trying to get out there. Like you said, when you find people that are hopeless, you can do nothing to hurt them. And they can do a whole lot to hurt you. So we need to build them up. We're sitting here, and we don't have the power. But we have to get to our young people. And we have to do something for them. Or we're going to face a bigger problem like ISIS. We have citizens going doing something crazy against our own country. Mm-hmm. And that's because of what? You didn't have a sense of hopelessness? Mm-hmm. We don't want it to get to that point. So when you starve the people out, that's what you get to come. That's good because here, and you do know kind of feel what happened here and walking on the north side of town.
Absolutely. And that's the folks that will tell you. I've been all the way going on 15 years here in Milwaukee. I represent a district on the near south side. It's a very diverse district. Mm-hmm. It's a large Hispanic population, an increasing African-American population, increasing long and East Asian population. We still have the ancestors of the Germans and Poles who settled that neighborhood. And believe it or not, they're all represented by an Irishman. Figure that one out. So people have locked up the Irish court of this and all think of us right there in my backyard. So, but I think local government certainly, in my mind, is not rocket science. It's like any leadership role, you identify the problems, you move forward with a plan that people can believe in and wrap their arms around and be a part of. And that stuff doesn't come from the top down, the leadership comes from the top down, but the plan needs to be embraced by the people, okay? For it to really be successful. And you can pour millions of dollars into a problem, just as you said earlier, Pastor, and it's not going to solve it if it doesn't make sense and if the people can't wrap their arms around.
Right.
So, if I have permission, Pastor, I'd like to pass around my clipboard to people. Any pastors that are interested in holding a listening session at their church, if you'd be so kind as to put down your name,
I'm getting my first example.
Yes.
Now, if we give you our support, thank you for earlier, what do you look at on?
Well, I will tell you this, it probably is too early yet. And I'm certainly not even asking for your support or your vote or anything like that. I'm asking for an opportunity to come and get to know you and to listen to your members. But having said that, if someone were to ask me, what's the role of local government, I would argue it's easy. Keep our streets safe. Educate our kids, provide for a good working infrastructure, in other words, pave our roads, make sure the sewers work, pick up the garbage. And then, as much as possible, create an atmosphere where the private sector can prosper on their own hard work and merit. Okay? And I believe businesses would want to settle in Milwaukee, if it's a safe environment, if it's an educated workforce, if the infrastructure is working effectively, okay? Now, certainly, we have other issues beyond that. We have issues in housing. We have issues in generational poverty, all of these things. But education, in my mind, is what is absolutely critical, because you're pointing out earlier, we have got to work with our young people. And it's got to start at a young age. So, I think providing the best possible education for our children is paramount in local government, and that has to be accomplished, because they're our future. And without them, and let's face it, we all live in a day and age where you've got to have an education and a skill to advance. That's the bottom line.
The days of the Alan Bradley's and the Leo Smith and all of those kinds of jobs where you really didn't have to have much of an education. As long as you weren't afraid of working and sweating a little and getting dirty, you can make a darn good living. We all know that. Those days are gone. But how we attract those jobs back to Milwaukee or at least other industries, because you're not going to see those kinds of jobs from that, is, I believe, through education, through a safe environment, districts.
What do you think the new Milwaukee Bucks Stadium should be built, and what percentage of public dollars should be invested in that enterprise?
Well, I would like to see the Bucks Stadium in Milwaukee. I think that's a plus for the community. As to whether, I know the latest proposal has a location on Wisconsin Avenue. I don't know how viable that is. I'm told that the owners of the Bucks will have a location picked. One thing that I it probably will entail some form of public financing to keep that and to keep the Bucks here. I think if we can devise a way where this is a building that is more than just a place for the Bucks to play, but a multi-purpose venue for Milwaukee where many different groups can use it and offer a variety of things, really state of the art. I think there's some great opportunities for the city. There could be a catalytic project for other developments. Okay?
Follow up to that is, there was some concern expressed this week about some common ground. That organization that saying that if there's going to be an investment of public dollars in a new Bucks Arena, that the stadiums at our local high schools need to be upgraded as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should also be investing in?
Oh,
well, including
no, we have an obligation to maintain our current recreational facilities and so on. Milwaukee has a great park system. Great opportunities over the years for recreation. We need to maintain that. I think that needs to be the number one priority as opposed to using public financing. And the secondary would be the Bucks Arena. But I can see both. Of course, that's a significant amount of money. They're costing hundreds of millions of dollars. And a lot of that has been the rate over the years has not been maintained. So whether there is a desire on the part of the citizens of Milwaukee to be engaged and to watch these things remains to be seen. I know you've got one group here, one group here arguing back and forth. We'll see what the majority of our citizens, who they want to pay some additional tax dollars towards these amenities. Yes.
My concern is the property taxes for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
When my husband and I were working, we had good paying jobs. He worked at Leo Smith, I worked at Briggs. Now that we're retired, fortunately we have the pensions and all of that, but several elderly people in our block had to give up their homes because the property taxes are constantly going up. Is there a way that you could recommend that seniors would receive a lower property tax, because when they were working, they were receiving a 4.5 cent per month.
Mm-hmm.
When you retire, you receive one cent.
Yeah.
And so that one cent cannot afford to pay the property taxes for many seniors. And some of those seniors are losing their homes. Some of those boarded up homes are not just young people that have lost their homes. Some of those homes are boarded up because seniors have to give up their homes that they worked hard for many years. Fortunate enough, my husband and I are not in that situation. But many seniors don't. So what should you recommend to help?
Yeah.
If it's the way you can help.
Well, you're absolutely right when you mentioned that the property tax in Milwaukee is far too high. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he has you're selling the third ward, and it's a nice condo that he has, that he is paying $15,000 a year in property tax. So you can imagine, that is phenomenal. Milwaukee, in my estimation, is not competitive with our peer cities because of the huge overburden placed on the property tax payer. We have got to divide the way where we have a much more equitable property tax. We have got to devise other ways that we fund our government, our local government, okay? Now, most of these other cities have income taxes. Most of them have sales taxes that stay right here in their locality. As an example, we pay approximately 5.5% or 10% sales tax. A small percentage of that stays with the county, the rest goes to the state. And yet, when we have an event in Milwaukee, when we have a convention, or when we have a, just some of them, when all these various ethnic festivals and people come to and spend money downtown, that sales tax goes to the state. It doesn't stay here locally to help pay for the police and the fire and the paving of the roads and all of these things. So I think there needs to be a more equitable way that that the taxes are distributed. A lower property tax, I could even see a slightly higher sales tax, but it stays here in Milwaukee to address the core mission of government. And that would be, in my opinion, some of the things I mentioned.
Oh, the power of government, there's one thing that I had to mention. Under Mayor Northbrook, there was a tremendous team in truth. If you look at the water bill, you have about 10 teams on that water bill around. And the water on water uses may be $69 or $70, but all these other fees on that, we went through a period here in Milwaukee where the sewer district was supposed to be completed and taken care of. Why all these things and what are you going to do about it?
Well, as I said, without having particular X amount of revenue, that's what led to these things. The city has got to have a certain amount of revenue to operate them. And I think Milwaukee is far too behind the times when it comes to diversifying a revenue stream into the community. So this forced the mayor to, caps that were put on increasing the property tax, although it's hugely high. And so it forced the Northwest to put these fees in order to pay for certain levels of services. I won't deny somehow that money has to be replaced. And I'm not going to sit here and promise that those fees will go away because I'm not going to misuse it. I wish I could come. Yeah, I lift all the food. And why is he free to live in Milwaukee if you have a big number of things?
One more question.
I do understand that it's a challenge.
There's one more question.
Yes, sir.
I see a disparity where so many, most of the work done in the city of Milwaukee is done by outside contractors, and therefore the money that stays inside the city, and I know it's impacted. We spend 44% of the city's budget on police and law enforcement. You got to be able to try to minimize that downstairs. And these are some of the issues that we're all facing. And how can, what do you see about how we can reverse that trend? Because 44% of the city's budget, just on one particular department, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing else to spend on anything else that we need to have done. The fees are going up, even on church is going up completely. So what is your view on that?
Well, first of all, the reality is, we've got serious issues relating to public safety. How we address them, I'm a believer that when the people call the police and they have a serious problem, the police need to show up and come there to help. Sadly, I hear from a lot of my constituents, when they call the police, they get the runaround. They don't show up, or maybe 2 or 3 hours later. So that's a challenge. Why that is going on? Well, I said it for years. Given the public safety challenges the city faces, we simply don't have enough resources to effectively deal with them. And so I'm a believer, and I'm just sort of focusing on public safety, but I'm a believer in DCOP, okay? And many of you are old enough to remember the DCOP who may have walked in your neighborhood as a kid. They can make a world of difference in community relations, in getting to know the good, the bad, in the neighborhood, developing that level of trust. In order to be able to do that, we need probably 200 more officers on this department, okay? Now, how do we pay for that? Well, I would challenge the 40%. We've got a city budget of approximately $1.4 trillion every year. Again, $1.4 trillion. That's $1,400 million to run the city every year. Out of that, approximately $240 million is the police department budget. Can we find that extra $10 million out of that remaining to put towards those deep cops and address the number of problems? I think we can. I think there's areas in the city where some things can be touched. Middle management, I think. We have some departments, so frankly, folks that you have one supervisor for 3 employees. Well, that's just, I don't believe, necessary. There are other ways that we can, I believe, find the resources to begin to stabilize and make safer our more challenged neighborhoods, and then begin that process of revitalizing it. But nothing positive will happen unless we can make the neighborhood safer. And that's just the reality. I wish it wasn't. I wish we didn't have to pay, half of what we pay for police. That's the real issue. So,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. It's going to be a while, because some
I'll be back for a while. I do have a noon, so I'll be leaving shortly. But, folks, let me give you my phone number.
Okay.
First of all, I'll give you my office phone for any issue related to the city and so on. That number is 66-3533. 3533. In most cases, my assistant Patty will answer that line. If you're single, if you want to come to me, she will either transfer you or just leave a message and I will get back. Okay? Also, if you want to bypass my assistant Patty for whatever reason and just talk to me personally, you call this number 286-3778. That rings right at my desk at City Hall. If I'm in a meeting or out in the community, just leave a message. I check it all the time. And then finally, I'll give you my cell phone number. And that number is 531-2096. And certainly, if any of you are interested, I would welcome the opportunity to listen to your message. I'm not asking to preach for the congregation. That's your job. I just want to be there after your service. If there's some social, perhaps following your service, then I could be there
and your compulsion as to what they may be charged.
Okay? Yes,
thank you. The next item on the agenda is a report from a member of our organization, J. Allen Stokes, and he told us something that is going to be quite nice here for the city. He's working on, why don't I just let him introduce himself and let's all welcome Mr. J. Allen Stokes.
Good morning.
I think that really works. I mean, people are fine. I'm not hard to find. Okay, I'll be more technical. Okay, and so when there's a problem, folks will come to my house, or they call me on the phone, they say, "Boy, we got a problem that I have to deal with." I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I can do that. Okay, and so again, the library, we're going to put in a proposal for King John Bolai to be done in the next couple of weeks. We're going to submit a letter against the library. And we'll see what happens. And that's not saying we're going to get the project, or if we don't get the project, we're still going to be driving where the project's going to go, who's going to be involved, what kind of project we're going to be going to be for the community. That's why we step forward and said, we worked on putting together this deal, I made about $10-15 million, and 50 years of affordable housing, and the library. I'm going to pass that information off to you guys. I didn't bring it up there. I only got 15 copies, but I'll pass them out to share them. But we're going to submit those proposals in the next couple of weeks. By the end of this month, we're going to submit those proposals. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a program in place to prepare unskilled minorities to become a part of this program, be a worker with this program? Do you have some kind of training in place to prepare them as you go forward with your plan?
We
have this program so that some of the minorities can be hired as workers.
Well, we'll make sure, first of all, we'll make sure that you have the minority participants. So the contract, a lot of the subcontractors will be the minority contractors. The second thing is that you want to hire the folks in the neighborhood. And you put something in place to make sure that folks who are unemployed and can't have, get a chance to work with some of these contractors to learn the skills. I mean, otherwise, it don't work. Okay. I mean, it just don't work. I mean, don't have to focus on just don't put down the road. And if you don't have to focus on this case, then go on the phone and talk about this house. You have a conversation for the neighborhood because then at night, they put it there at daytime, and nighttime they're going to come take it out. So it's important to have it. It's important to ask folks from the neighborhood. This is a fact. If you don't have them involved, then they're going to come back and do something. Because they're not ready. If you see out there want to make money, they won't make money. So not just make sure that they can use their money. The second project is that, you'll know where to put a loan project.
Yes.
But that shouldn't have a So one of the projects that we've been working on is revitalizing that park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a nice park.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that I've been up the street to that park, and I've been living there for the last 30 some years. I've been put out there park. But we've been working with the county to get a couple projects, but now we're going to put together a group called the Friends of that Park. Because if you put together a friend folks, who live around there concerned about this park, they will get kind of services or funding needed for those parks. So we've been working with, federal city sister building, Indiana. We've been working with the cities there. We got the kids come down there and work with the city. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids that far, the cities that far. I mean, it's really interesting. They've been to the cities, And only time that park is really utilized is on Sunday, to close on Sunday park. But other than that, there's nothing going on in that park. So we want to make sure that there's something going on in that park. We want to make sure that we have something to say about what goes on in that park.
So what do you envision going there?
Well, right now the only thing that baseball field is doing is on Sunday. But we think about making it to be a market purpose field. So that you don't have to see baseball, it could be no football, it could be soccer. I mean, something where the kids can come and play at it. I mean, the kids don't play on that baseball mound. The cabins do play on Sunday.
Okay.
That's the only time that people play baseball in that park. So why not have a soccer field or a football field where the kids can come and play, organized, they have basketball courts down there, but that's just for the older kids, but the little kids, too, they're not going to play to go to the place.
In our country, there's no other activities, organized activities, inside this park. How come we can't have some work going on there? It used to be roads, I listened to a guy from Hell's Corners. Hell's Corners has 5,000 people.
Right.
Okay, we got more people in that neighborhood than in that other home. They got a place where people go out there and lobby and enjoy themselves.
That's why I wanted Mr. Gene Allen Stokes to come here today, because I asked him to join our organization with his developer partner, because we need to have developers in our Passage United group. And that's what he's done. So this is our developer. Hello, somebody. This is our developer. Yeah. So what he's saying is that our developer is about to put in a bid to build the library on King Drive and Burlock. So Passage United is that input, and our developer getting this assignment to build this library. And we certainly want to support that. And we certainly want to support, you know, making sure that Rose Park, I call it Garfield Park, because I used to go there to play basketball almost every day. We had Reeves there, Air White was there in the summertime, we had Conference there. And I could go home late on those nights at college because I was going to Garfield Park. We're talking about just enjoying that park. And this great man of God, this developer, is totally and completely committed to helping out in our community and doing some things with Passage United support and helping clean up some of the areas and develop some of the main arteries of the streets that are in this part of town. So this is our developer. He's a member of our organization, his company is a member, and we want to support that. So in saying that, we have a letter here of support for what he's about to do. I got to give it to him because he needs this by tonight, right? That's what I was told.
That's my boss.
So it says, please accept this letter from Passage United in support of the Harambe Great Neighborhood Initiative's effort to develop the Zeidler House, the intergenerational housing and library development proposed for the city on site on northeast corner of Dr. Martin Luther King Drive and Burline, representing 300 church leaders. And the Milwaukee area has united by these collaborative efforts that bring positive development and quality resources to the Harambe community that will best serve the residents of the area. And so on. But this is our letter of support for this endeavor, and I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. Let me say something, because he mentioned that we're calling it the Zyder House. So let me tell you why. Okay. I mean, two reasons. I mean, Mayor Zyder was my neighbor for 20 years. Matter of fact, he's the one who talked to me and doing the form of the house. And this little short white man comes knock on my door, come up over there, talk to people about gardening and stuff. This is all we talking to me about housing and how important, you know, to treat everybody's pet. I mean, this man didn't drive. He took the bus. And he walked up and down, you know, that hill, walked up and down Locust Street, and nobody followed him. I was walking up and down there, and he didn't know what he said, but he was about to talk to him.
Also, he was a real supporter of the library system. He felt that it was important to have a library where everybody had access to information. And he was a common person. And so, like, we forget very easily that they were the grace of God.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, we've got intelligence, we've got internet, we got this, we got that. But what about the people who don't have students? You know, we talk, I've been told earlier about issues that we got. But one of the basic problems that we got, in my humble opinion, is that we forgot who we are. And we got people call us, we go, I
Because if they would have called me and got on the agenda,
We should have done that. So, but let's give our developer a great big hand. We got a letter from the school, and I have a letter for you right here. That, where do I sign? I don't know. Do I sign under or over this thing? I don't know. It says it's silly. I signed at the bottom of that, right?
Huh?
Okay. All right. There you go. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? We need to put that on our table. Yeah, we do. Okay, yeah. We need to put that on our letter here. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I want to add one to know.
Yeah.
You're talking about the property tax.
Yeah.
Very important note. Walking, everybody in Milwaukee has some of the highest property taxes in the United States. If you look at our surrounding counties, like Waukesha and Brooksville and all these other counties, the property taxes is almost in some of them half of what we pay. So that has to let you know that according to our mayor, how we vote and what the change that we added to our inner city compared to what's going on the outside. The only reason why our property taxes is high inside the city of Milwaukee is because of how we vote. If you notice, the people are the same, they're taking care of their own, but really where our value is, they're taking care of our own. So our property taxes are low. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's one of the things.
Okay. About that,
another reason why their property taxes are low out there, you have more services in the city than they do out there. That's one reason. But granted, they have $400,000 homes. And maybe
we
pay more taxes than some
of them out there. You know, I think, you know, but everybody says, oh, there's no harm there.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point? If we're not organized and putting the energy, analyzing those situations, and doing something about it in an organized, constructive way, we'll just stay in our will. So I know my dad's bill is much higher than the guys in Oak Creek. I know that. Now, what are we going to do about it? We don't know. So that's what we need to figure out. I mean, we have all these problems all over the place. That's why we got Pastors United. I mean, so we need to do this thing organized and together. Pastor, I just want to say, Pastor Watson, I know he's got to go.
I'm good.
Yeah, you got it, because I did the role, you know, we love you. I told you, you first of all, the agenda. So, Mr. Mandela.
We are 46 days away from the election.
Yeah.
And everything can change, everything can stay the same. A lot has been going on since 2010, which was our last gubernatorial election. In 2010, a lot of people didn't show up to vote. A lot of people came to sleep, and a lot of people paid the price for that afterwards. We're seeing some of the most substantial cuts to the public service, some of the most substantial cuts. To classify that people need when we, you know, start to villainize and demonize the poor, that's a big deal. And for our governor, you know, whether you agree with them or not, you know, there are certain things that our constituencies, when I say our constituencies, I mean the people that I represent, I mean the people that you all represent as pastors, as faith leaders, the people that we all represent, the people we live around, our family members, our friends. And for them to not show up, on November 4th will be a huge disservice for them, not only themselves, the entire community, the entire city of Milwaukee. And, you know, I personally have my opinion who I'm going to vote for, who I want people to vote for, but I can't talk about that here. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of who people vote for, when you don't show up, people take notice. When you don't show up to vote, you get ignored. And it's like, I tell everybody, like, it's not a secret. We know who votes.
And what I'm going to pull on my computer right now and show you how people go out and show you how dense or how sparse the voter or how sparse the voter population is in any given area. And you tend to notice that in areas where the voter is a little more sparse, the areas are seen to get ignored. The areas where the parts are being left and ignored and not paid attention to. Those things are all important. And if you don't show up in this election, you don't show up, and I plan to hit a few churches with one candidate that's running for governor. And you know, I'd be more than happy to stop by and visit. You know, I'm up pretty much myself. I don't have a home. So I've been unfortunate in that regard. So I'm not here to ask for support for myself. I'm here for the greater good and what the task you have. Well, you really need it, but and what city Milwaukee needs. And when you look back to recall election 2 years ago, mm-hmm. You know, Governor ran against Milwaukee. He said, you don't want the rest of the state to be like Milwaukee. Those were his words. I'm not making that up. I can only speak facts. I can only speak, you know, if you don't believe, then you don't look it up. And it's important that as the largest city, when we look at property tax, we look at as much as we pay into the state, we don't get our return, we don't get an equal return on that investment. And until we have leaders, you know, in Madison who are gonna appreciate that and understand that and work to build Milwaukee up. Because strong Milwaukee is strong the rest of the state. And when we pray this little Milwaukee pray, which is this black pride really, when you pray that up in suburban areas, you know, you get this resentment. This resentment towards Milwaukee. We don't want to do anything in Milwaukee. All those people do is money. They're just taking up all our tax dollars and getting their welfare and getting food to them. But the thing is, the more we put into Milwaukee, the more resources that are allocated, the more support that Milwaukee has, the stronger those suburban areas are. And Milwaukee is strong enough suburban areas on friends as well. You know, you look at any large metropolitan area across the country. You know, we are so, the way that it's set up is, you know, it really is just Milwaukee versus the rest of the world. You look at, even at Detroit, like Detroit is, you know, in a bad situation. You look at the outlying areas, you got Southfield, you got everywhere else. Atlanta, even Birmingham, Nashville, like you go other places around the country, you got black people living in other places. We live in Milwaukee. We are here. You know, maybe a few of us around here, a couple in Greenville, but for the most part, we're in Milwaukee. You go anywhere else. And I went to school when I was at them, so I had the opportunity. My mother's originally from Birmingham. You know, when I go around, everyone's in every area. You know, you talk about property taxes and other things, how people are living. Anywhere else, you know, you see black people living there in those places. You know, unfortunately, that's not the case. So we've experienced a lot of divisive rhetoric. And until we understand that we are only going to be stronger together is how we can move forward with the state of Wisconsin and the state of Milwaukee. So.
Okay, my thing is this. We already know that they've already changed the voting rules that we just have to now have the ID. And you know, what they mean for bad for us is really for the good. Why don't you walk around with no identification as to who you are? Because we need that. So we need to get out of young people. We need to stop talking about this because we're running out of time. We've been talking about this too long. We need to get to those young people and tell them the way that they fight that is to go to that DMV and get that identification, that state ID they need for them to be ready to vote and make a difference. We need to get out of our churches and get out there and do that. That's critical to what we need to be doing.
Right, and that's really what I want you to touch on too before I let you. Every pastor here, everybody's going to be in front of a microphone on Sunday. Oh, how many times gotta be said? If you find yourself in front of a microphone on Sunday, you better mention an ID.
Mm-hmm.
You need to mention to everybody, hey, look, it's not hard to get. The DMV has an ID for free, you get the birth certificate free in the county. You know, the logistical portion is the tough part. You know, people try to plan to point B to C, or all the X, Y, and Z. But the fact of the matter is, it is available, and I'm sure that these more person has us on transportation here that we can help coordinate something to get people together to get those IDs, because that is the important part. And I told somebody, the whole voter ID decision here is a disaster. It can be pretty bad. But sometimes during a hurricane, we'll send to watch this book. And in this case, we have more people who are at least going to know there's an election taking place. Because you'd be surprised how many people, you know, say, are you going to vote those numbers? Oh, didn't you vote 2 years ago? You'd be surprised at how many people think that you only vote in presidential elections. I think you only vote every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, there will be talk about voting, talk about the fact that there is an election in November happening. And when people hear that, there's an election going on. Maybe I need to get out and vote. And I think, honestly, the fact that the purpose was to, you know, limit the vote. Yeah. Quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Because it's been stated before. Mm-hmm. It keeps the vote down in certain areas. But the fact, I think, that this is an opportunity for us to increase the vote in the city of Milwaukee and in our urban areas.
So we need to work on that, and we certainly would work with you, because I've been working with you for a while, so I don't mind working with you.
Yeah.
If we didn't do that, but we need to move on also. There's something really pressing that we need.
Money.
Your telephone number.
Oh, mine. So you can, so please contact me at 414-949-5878. And you can leave a message there if I don't pick up.
It's important that we go out to vote. It's also important that we get the message out to as many people as we can.
Yes.
And to the extent that I see this barrage of advertising appearing on TV, mm-hmm. which our young people may not be watching,
yes.
I think the candidates need to put some money in this community to help encourage to get out to vote for them on November 4th. Now, what can you do about that?
I absolutely agree. I mean, when I ran into all the local media, I was advertised on radio as well, that was my campaign. I think, you know, a lot of that, we're still with 43 days. I think when we get to the 30-day mark, is when we'll see a little more of that. But, you know, I can't speak directly for the reason I can, you know, absolutely talk to somebody in my conference call, and in my meeting,
The only thing is, I'm suggesting that, is that can you try to persuade?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So I'll be in touch with you. Okay. That's what you said. We may be able to help out. Yeah. So certainly we can help out get that vote out for sure.
Yeah.
And especially that area that you already know are really bad. Those are the ones who need to go to those neighborhoods and check it out and really ask them, what's the reason? What do we need? How can we help you? Yes, what do we need to do so that you can register?
Yeah, we can set up, you know, canvases for people.
And have people that are registered at kitchen tables, all the different places. They can use these forms. I'm going to have a
better job. There are a couple people too. They call themselves the supermarket ladies. And they have been in a few different windows. I saw them at the Walgreens on Queens. Stopping my cars. Having no time. And a lot of it is having conversations with people. With all people. You know, that's the basic element to this.
Thank you. We only have a few minutes left for the meeting here. But let's do this. Let's take up this offering. If you got $10, bring it all up.
Five,
whatever you have. Let's do that too. Let's give up. I'm going to give 10. Here you go. Thank you for that. So let's do that right now, and then we'll do the rest of the things go quick, and we'll get out of here. Thank you. Well, anybody run up here as well.
I don't know.